to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. Text line 251-343-0106, brought to you by Situ Technologies. If we have enough time, we will try to get to what's remaining in the text box. Real quick programming note. Coming up Monday, State Representative Jennifer Fiddler and some guy named Dell Jackson as he joins us on Mondays. That's coming up on Monday, so please make sure you tune in on Monday. Joining us now, however, we're very pleased to bring on our next guest. She is our junior U.S. Senator, and we're glad she makes time for this program from time to time, United States Senator Katie Britt. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am doing well. Glad to be home. Just went to field day at my children's school and then headed to a track meet. So I'm staying busy in D.C. and then obviously busy here at home.
It doesn't slow down at home either, does it?
It sure does not. That is exactly right. There is a lot to do. Obviously, incredible things going across the state and certainly love meeting with constituents and hearing about things that we could be doing, and then also, being a mom and getting to do all of the things that I'll be doing today.
Well, let's kick it off here. I would say you got something that's got a lot of attention, but a proposal dealing with social media and how to, I guess, police a little bit better that it needs. There needs to be some kind of hurdles there to keep those that might be a little too young for just social media exposure, I suppose, from getting access to it. Talk us about what you would like to see there.
Yeah, so we've just put forth a bill, a bipartisan bill this week, led by Senator Cotton and Senator Schott, Senator Murphy, and myself. And really, what bottom line is, Jeff, social media companies continue to put profit over people. And in this instance, that means American children, which is our future. And they're actually being put last. When we look at the numbers and when we see just tragedy after tragedy with regards to social media and children's exposure and rabbit holes that they get in when it comes to algorithms and other things, we have to say enough's enough. And so this bill is very simple. It is 8 pages, Jeff, which typically in D.C., you have bills that are thousands of pages. So anyone can read this in, 10 minutes or less. And it prevents kids from under the age of 13 from creating a social media account. The Surgeon General has said that no child under 13 needs to be on social media. That is what social media platforms already say. So this is just putting that into law and then requiring parental consent for children between the ages of 13 and 17 to create a social media account. So it puts the power back with the parents. So the parents can have a conversation with their child about the positives and the negatives of social media. And they can also gauge whether their child is ready to take those things on. And most importantly, it also prohibits the use of algorithms for all social media users who are under the age of 18. So between that 13 and 17 years of age, you cannot follow kids around, push them to content, profit over, putting their profits over these young people and developing minds. So we've gotten a lot of positive feedback. People are excited. We are not coming to this as Democrats or Republicans. All four of us are coming to the table here as concerned parents, knowing that we've got to step up and protect our children.
What's been the reception so far? Have you heard from your colleagues or any other of the social media companies? I mean, what do you think?
I have no doubt that social media companies will not be happy. They obviously want to continue to profit, but that is not going to deter us. We're going to continue to push forward. This morning at field day, I heard from a number of parents who stopped me and said, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. People are ready for us to take back control, put parents back in the driver's seat, and allow them to help protect their children, particularly during this critical time.
Let's move on to some other things. The Tommy Tuberville hold on promotions, military promotions, with the, it looks like the Department of Defense trying to do an end run around, a lot of states and their laws against on abortion, but also potentially in violation of the Hyde Amendment. I mean, what do you think of this? Kind of tying up some of the business in the Senate. Is this Tuberville in a good place here?
Look, we must protect life. And Coach has obviously had conversations before I even got to the Senate about these DOD policies. And he is standing firm. Look, the Department of Defense should use they should be doing actually the real work that they're supposed to be doing, which is making sure that our war fighters are the best equipped, the best resourced, and the best trained in the world. Never should they be using any type of funding to promote or support abortions. I mean, for years, we have obviously agreed on the Hyde Amendment in a bipartisan way, saying that we would never let a taxpayer money be used to fund abortions. So I was proud to stand alongside Coach and vote for his CRA when it came to the VA and making sure that we were not using these funds in this way in the VA. And then the same thing, I have signed on to Joni Ernst's bill that says the DOD should not be able to do this. I think we have to continue to make sure that people understand that it is Democrats who are extreme and, you know, that they're continuing to try to chip away at the longstanding bipartisan consensus that taxpayer dollars should not and will not fund abortions.
Joined by United States Senator Katie Britt here on the program. Senator, something else, and this is the House dealing with it, House kind of firing the first salvo here, but we had your counterpart in the House, or one of your counterparts in the House, Barry Moron, on earlier, talking about the debt ceiling. And it is remarkable to see, I guess, Senate leadership, and particularly the Biden administration, just not really interested in even having a discussion about it. They just want Congress to authorize an increase to the debt limit. Well, say you. I mean, I assume you're kind of along the lines with most of your Republican colleagues on this one.
Yes, I am thrilled to see the work that Speaker McCarthy and my colleagues in the House are doing. They're doing the real work, the work that the American people have elected them to do. And unfortunately, what we see from President Biden and from Senator Schumer is them shucking their responsibility to do their part. It's completely unreasonable for Democrats to be taking this my way or the highway approach when it comes to negotiating on the debt ceiling. It is reckless, and it's time that they sit down and have a conversation about how we can responsibly get our debt back in order, rein in this ridiculous spending, make sure that we have a plan to moving forward. I am thrilled to see the work that the House has done. I think especially when you bring reform, being a part of this conversation, I think Americans want that. They want us to not only be energy independent, but they want us to be energy dominant. They know that it affects everything we do here at home, from the grocery store to the gas pump and everything in between. They also know what it's doing to our allies and what it means for us abroad. We have to show strength in this area and sustainability in this area, and I am pleased to see the House lead on this. Additionally, Jeff, I am thrilled to see the workforce requirements for working-aged, able-bodied adults. If you are going to be receiving government benefits, you need to be working. It makes sense. I mean, it makes sure that we are, limiting spending. It helps us save. It helps us grow the economy. And it's what we need to be doing. And we need to, dig in and make the Democrats have a conversation about how we move forward in a productive and a responsible way.
Well, that's one of the big things that's really plaguing Alabama's economy is workforce participation, right? I don't know what it looks like nationally, but yeah, sure. And this was sort of the trick with the Obama administration coming out of the recovery or coming out of the downturn in 2008-09, but that, people were getting government benefits, and then or whatever their reason was, they weren't participating in the workforce, and yet the unemployment rate looked low, and that was something that a lot of people would hang their hat on. But we were seeing that especially here in Alabama, where you have able-bodied people just not in the workforce for whatever reason.
That's right. You have nailed it. So we are actually 6 points below the national average when it comes to our labor participation rate. So here in Alabama, while we tout a low unemployment rate of 2.7%, our labor participation rate is only 56.4%. That is completely and totally unacceptable. When you look across the nation, I mean, nearly three quarters of able-bodied childless adults between the ages of 18 and 55 who collect food stamps do not work at all. When we are looking at, you know, how can we do better? How can we be better? This, to me, should be the top thing that we are talking about. We have got to get America moving. We have got to get people back to work. The studies show that if we could get 4 million able-bodied adults from welfare to work, it would boost the economy by about $149 billion. And the more workers we have, that also increases Social Security and Medicare revenues by about $89 billion. Not to mention, Jeff, that there is a dignity in an honest day's work. It helps with mental health. It helps with productivity. That contribution, both to your family and to society, feels good. We have got to stand firm on this. We've got to continue to talk about it. It just makes sense. But as you know, in Washington, D.C., common sense is not very common.
Right. And you know, there's such a good point about this. I know a lot of it may be just cultural, social, whatever, plaguing, but there are government policy things that can be done to entice people to go to work, right? To incentivize it. Additionally, maybe it's with the tax code or whatever it may be. Maybe it is weaning some of these benefits away from those recipients and encouraging them to go to work. But this isn't something that's necessarily just a lost cause that we just have to shrug off, right?
No, not at all. I think we have to continue to talk about it. I mean, I commend the House Republicans for bringing this into the conversation. We've got to keep beating this drum. We have got to continue to talk about the benefits, not only to the individual, but to society, to the workforce, to the bottom line. When we're looking at our national debt, you and I have talked about this before, Jeff, $31-32 trillion. It is not only fiscally irresponsible, it is morally irresponsible. We have got to find a way to rein in spending and to make sure that our nation is continues to be secure and strong. And make no mistake, with debt like this, it is a national security risk. I mean, we are looking at the disaster that is happening abroad, right? And that is a direct result of Joe Biden's weakness. President Biden's weakness has caused chaos not only here at home when it comes to inflation, when it comes to crime on our border, which we are about to see that hit unprecedented levels on May 11th when Title 42 goes away, but we're seeing it abroad. China is doing everything from undermining the American worker to stealing our intellectual property. And this president, what is he doing? Allowing them to traverse a balloon across our most sensitive military installation. This is ridiculous. It must stop. And we have to start by being responsible here and holding President Biden's feet to the fire.
Katie, we'll wrap it up on this. Ukraine and watching what's going on there, it just seems maybe not as dominating in the news cycle. There's been a bunch of distractions, but it just seems we're still headed in that direction of more involvement. How concerned are you about what the U.S. is doing there? What are you hearing? What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so when we look at it, obviously we must win. An emboldened Russia is an emboldened China, is an emboldened Iran. But what we must also do, and it is paramount, is make sure that there is accountability to what we have already done and anything that we may or may not do in the future. I voted last week to create a special inspector general right before we left for the recess to make sure that anything, any assistance that we sent to Ukraine had accountability, that U.S. taxpayer money was being spent correctly and wisely. But unfortunately, as you can imagine, the Senate did not pass that measure. So we've got to continue to make sure that there's accountability over our spending, and not just with Ukraine, I mean, across the board. And so we'll have to continue to do that. Unfortunately, this is another example of Joe Biden saying one thing, but then not following through. He talked a big game, but as we have seen the reports come out, Ukraine did not get the munitions or the aid that they were supposed to get in a timely fashion. And so we are seeing the results of that today.
Senator Britt, we appreciate your time. We're out of time, but I loved having you on, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
And yeah, Jeff, let's do. We have a hearing next week in the Homeland Security Appropriations Subcommittee that I'm the ranking member of on fentanyl, and really trying to get answers to the disasters that are happening across our country when it comes to overdose and fentanyl death, the leading cause of death between the ages of 18 and 45. So I'd love the opportunity to come back on and to talk about what we're hearing, or actually better yet, what we're not hearing from the Biden administration.
We always have an open invitation on this program, and thanks for taking a break from, I know, the rigors of home life for this program as well.
You got it. I appreciate it. Hey, thank you, Jeff. Have a good day.
Thank you. That was U.S. Senator Katie Britt there on the line. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.